Blog Talk Radio.
Brought to you by Satanic International Network. You're listening to the news.
Upon the cage, every foul wicked spirit in the host, the ooze.
20 minutes, then the rule of eight, on the ooze, right now.
On the ooze, it's gonna fucking rock. Be there.
To really tap into the adversarial current
necessitates a certain fortitude.
Now, on to our show.
Thanks for tuning in. I'm TC Downing, a.k.a. Beast Zeno, and with me on the line is my co-host, Zach Black. Zach, how you doing today, man?
Good, guys, good. Still alive. Missed the wave, so guess I'm happy about that.
Yeah, that's good news, man. I mean, you text me about everything else, but you can't tell me there's a tsunami coming to wipe your ass out?
Well, I didn't want to text you at, like, 3 o'clock in the morning, so...
Right on, because that would only be 6 o'clock in the morning here, so...
Okay, well, keep that in mind next time I get drunk and send you stupid pictures.
Right on, man.
An emergency broadcast thing came on TV, man, and it's like, it's usually a false alarm, and then all of a sudden, it won't shut the fuck up, so I go and look at it, and it says everybody in beach areas in San Diego County needs to get the fuck out of there. I was like, what? At 3 in the morning?
Right,
the fuck, there are terrorists coming? There's a fucking wave. I was like, oh, fuck me.
It's interesting to me, man, is I, never have the TV on, so I would have no idea if the state of Florida was being evacuated or something. I don't think I've actually watched regular television in a couple of years, so.
Right off.
All right. Anyway, before we bore everybody to death. Zach,
the wave actually never hit, so that was a good thing.
That is a good
thing. False alarm.
Maybe Hawaii ate it?
Not sure. I haven't checked. I don't really care either. Not here.
Right. All right. So everybody knows, today we have a special guest on the phone with us. This is, I don't even know what you'd like to be referred to. Sin, would that work?
Yeah, Sin works. It's a nickname, so it's not just like some random screen name or something. But it's Allison or Sin, either one.
Okay.
Oh, wait a minute. Sin's my name.
Well, hey, you named your network after me. I'll take the props.
Yeah, that's true. You're right.
Because I was around before you were, buddy.
Yes, you were.
You have actually been a guest on the ooze before, within the, I would say, first few shows. But before we really get into all of that, if you could, would you just, tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Everybody knows me by Sin. I'm everywhere on the internet. I have my own website. It's the Poison Apple, www.poisonapple.com. I write a bit, so, I have some articles published. Some people might know me by my writing. My name's Allison Jones, so you might know me by that. I'm pretty much all over the place. I write a lot. I'm an artist. I was involved in the Cult of Cthulhu, which is what we're talking about. I don't know. What do you want to know? Ask me some questions.
you actually live a pretty eclectic life. One of the things that I think I first commented on was in one of your videos, the artistic merit of your house alone is something that I think that most people don't even fathom to try to get there. There's just such a completeness to it. Each room's a different color, and each color seems to be directly related with the props that you have going in the room.
It's basically a complete environment. I've created a complete environment in my house.
Yes. That's what I was getting at. I just haven't wrapped my brain up enough. I'm sorry, I haven't done enough drugs today or something. But real quickly, you all kinds of stuff. I mean, all kinds of stuff. What kinds of stuff do you make?
I paint, I sculpt, I sew, I make dolls. I make most of my props. I make masks. You name it, I make it. I mean, people will send me ideas, you know, like just some idea and be like, I'd like to make this, and I can make it. that's my famous tagline, I can make it. So I make everything. I even make instruments. I make drums, I make tambourines, I make sistrums. I mean, you name it, I make it.
Can you make beer?
Yeah. I can make mead, too. It's a messy process, but I can make it.
Oh, cool. Marry me?
Yeah.
Joking.
Yeah, so I'm pretty much all over the place. I don't have any specific forte as far as my artwork goes. Some of it's crafts, some of it's artwork. I even do grave rubbings. I do really artistic things with my poetry. Yeah, so.
You do a lot of
something. I'll make a whole bunch of stuff. You know, when I get into something, I just, you know, I could create a whole, you know, like a prop room. Be like, all right, I'm into this right now. I need to design the whole room to be into this right now. Like, more recently, I got into Mediterranean trance music. So my living room basically got transformed into a trance space where I have a place, you know, where I can actually trance out on a carpet. I have an altar set up on my fireplace, instruments everywhere. So it depends on what I'm into at the time. And the house changes.
The stuff that's
organic.
It's organic. I would assume as much. You seem to be very. I don't know what the word would be. Earthy, in a sense, I guess.
I wouldn't even. No, not really. I wouldn't consider myself earthy. I'm very much an occultist, so. Everything in my house has some kind of occult value, some kind of symbolism, allegory, hidden meaning in the symbolism that I have all over the house. Like, I know what it means. Some people come over here and they're just like, what the hell is that? people call it my museum. You know, my son brings friends over and they're just like, wow, your house is so bizarre. Everybody
right
likes babies in a jar, you know, like in the kitchen I have like babies in jars, you know, with little dolls and all kinds of stuff around.
Now, you kind of actually hinted to how I met you. You were a member of the Cult of Cthulhu. Just as I was kind of coming into it, you were kind of going out of it. So we just sort of brushed shoulders along the path there.
Yeah, most of our interaction was on that Pro Boards, that forum that the Cult of Cthulhu had.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was saying that you know, most of our interaction was on that Cult of Cthulhu Pro Boards, you know, that little internet network.
Is anybody on the line?
Yeah, I am. I can hear you. Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I think we lost Beast, though, so I'm going to have to pretend like I know what I'm talking about for once. So what attracted you to the Cult of Cthulhu in the first place?
Avenger was, I used to run a group on MySpace called the Satanic Minds, kind of just a, you know, forum group. And Avenger would pop in and out of there and, you know, plug some of his stuff, you know, like spam the group with, you know, what he was doing. Some of his writing was pretty, you know, promoting his books and the cult and all that kind of stuff. So that's pretty much how I got exposed to it. And then I joined the forum to kind of read what he was into. I read the book, and that's pretty much how it started, just kind of reading all the stuff he had on the internet, you know, the e-books he had on Lulu and all that stuff. So that's pretty much how the ball started rolling.
Cool. Yeah, I met Venture through Beast, through T.C. Downey, the host of the Ooze. He approached me on YouTube. Said, hey, check this guy out, see what we're doing. And it was fascinating. I was really interested. I haven't been always interested in the H.P. Lovecraft stuff, but I thought what he was doing was pretty unique and novel. You know, I didn't go as far as to read his book, but I think I read maybe the first 20 pages.
Oh yeah, I was really into the stories when I was younger, and I'd actually forgotten all about them because it's been so many years I'd even taken a look at most of the stories. And so once Venger started, plugging some of his stuff, I really started to reread the stories and reconnect with all the symbolism and stuff. And it's so rich in symbolism and allegory. It's unreal. I mean, you can just tap that and just run with that forever. It's never ending. And then he started fusing all kinds of different philosophies into it, which made it really interesting. That's what I liked. I'm very philosophical by nature, very intellectual. So, once he started, fusing like fourth wave philosophy in there, a little Buddhism, and then of course the Satanism, I was there. I was just like, let me check this out and see how, maybe I can use this.
Cool. Beast, are you back on the air, by the way?
Yeah, I'm back on the air, man. My Skype connection decided to totally flat out, so I had to call back in on my cell phone. So I've just being quiet and trying to figure out where we were at in terms of the conversation.
Yeah,
so.
you're even clearer on the cell phone than you were on the Skype.
Oh, that's good news, because it's usually the other way around. My cell phone's really normally kind of a curse at this point, so.
Yeah, it was really jagged before. It was like, cutting in and out before.
Right on. Well, I'm glad this is a better thing than in that case. The thing of it is, the internet here at work is not as high speed as the one at home, so the Skype connection doesn't seem to want to agree with it no matter what I do.
Right.
I don't know why I keep trying it and keep trying it, and it just keeps screwing me over, but I guess because I'm convinced that it's superior technology and should work. But anyway, you kind of touched on what drew you into the Cult of Cthulhu. Did I miss anything else beyond that?
That's pretty much it so far.
Yeah, I was just touching on it, what brought me there, what got me starting to read, some of what Venger was writing and the Lovecraft stories again.
Right on. Well, prior to your actual exit from the Cult of Cthulhu, I think you gave some pretty heavy-handed criticism to the founder of it itself, and I don't think that you necessarily believe that the idea itself was not something worth pursuing. I think your criticism was more specifically aimed towards the behavior of Avenger at that time, right?
Oh yeah, he was just acting out on the board. I don't know. He might have been going through some stuff in his personal life. You put aside the man, and you just concentrate on the writing. And I still. We reconnected on the Spiritually Raw site, and he's still posting some blogs and stuff there, and I perused some of his newer writing and checked out the new site, which is phenomenal compared to the old site. Wow, I was impressed with that. I really like the new site. New blogs and stuff.
Well, I never messed around too much on the forums there. But isn't it true that you wanted to be
You guys are breaking up. I can't hear you.
Yeah, Zach, you're breaking up, bud.
On the Cult of Cthulhu forums, isn't it true that Venger insisted that everybody call him Master at one point?
Oh, yeah.
That was
right before my exit. He was demanding. Well, it was a series of threads where, he would, it was like an open-ended question that, anybody on the board, here's the subject, everybody, posed their opinion and feedback. And we often did that, and we'd all post, our responses there, and then we kind of play off of each other, So there was something that he said, and I was like, well, I don't necessarily agree with it, but here's my point of view. And it was like three or four topics in a row like that, and it got to a point where he was like, enough. And then the rest of us are all sitting here scratching our heads like, what? What is this nonsense? And then shortly after that, he posted a message saying that, we were to address him as Master, and, he was going to dictate how everything was going to go on the forum. And so in other words, he was going to stifle the free thought that was going on, and he wanted us to all be, subservient to him. And so I was like, peace out. I'm out of here. I don't know why he thought in his mind any self-respecting person, let alone a Satanist, would bow to a master.
Right, exactly. You know, it's like the only person I would ever call a master is someone who carries a lightsaber and is wise in the ways of the Force. That's it.
Yeah. Now, if we were doing some theatrical production, I might do it, you know, for the fun of it. But, you know, in real time, no way. No way. I have no master.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, he posted something weird on Sin. Basically, worship me while I'm leaving. Big butthurt, because he wasn't getting the respect he thought he deserved. And so everybody stepped up and made fun of him and ridiculed him, and now he's gone.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened on my Satanic Mind group. You know, he started that a few years ago. And, of course, that doesn't fly in a satanic forum. But I think what's happened with him is most Satanists are artists in some way, shape, or form. And as artists, we create complete environments. And that's essentially what he's done. He's done, you know, he's created the cult. The internet has become his environment, essentially, for him to be this character. You know, we all have characters that we portray at times. He's essentially become this character. And so when he goes into discussion or, you know, he's acting as the cult leader, you know, he feels like he acts as that cult leader, which demands people be subservient to him as a cult leader. But I wonder who actually goes down on bended knee to that.
I don't know, but, you know, you brought up an interesting point that I didn't look at it as that. I just looked at him as batshit crazy. But, I can kind of see where you're coming from with that.
Yeah, I wouldn't consider him crazy, and I know everybody thinks he's crazy. I think he has crazy moments. I would consider him to be an intelligent, rational person. But like I said, I think it's just that environment. You see people do it all the time. You know, you don't have to be a cult leader or even being involved in a cult to see people get lost in their internet characters that they create for themselves. It happens all the time. I know I see it.
Well, I think the key word is also cult, you know, and a lot of us thought he was tongue-in-cheek with his whole, you know, persona of high priest satanist, you know, and then when we found out, when he released the comment that he's actually the chosen one and the Messiah, a lot of people started to bounce out of there. In fact, all the good people that were there bounced out of there.
Well, he probably is in his own cosmology. I mean, he's creating an entire alternate reality. And if you pay attention to what he writes about, that's exactly what he's talking about. He's created a new reality for himself. So in his new reality is the Messiah. Doesn't mean it's our reality.
Right.
It's his reality. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and I have a cult of my own, but it's very tongue-in-cheek. It's called the Cult of Sin. And I have Sinians. They're called Sinians instead of Minions. And some people, like, outside of my little group here, you know, because I have a grotto here, they really believe that, you know, I'm this, you know, cult leader who's commanding people to do my bidding and all of that. But the people involved know it's very tongue-in-cheek and it's all funny, ha-ha. But we play online and, you know, when I say, Sinians, do this, and they all run off and do it, it's kind of funny. But the people actually think I'm commanding these people, like, crack a whip and they're bowing down to me like their master, but they're not. It's all funny games.
But on Beast, do you have anything going on that?
I'm sitting here even trying to think of which direction I wanted to go with any of this. The thing of it for me is, in some ways, I feel like I've kind of beaten my opinion of it to death, and so it was just interesting to hear. I was hoping maybe she would talk a little bit about, you know, her thoughts prior to leaving and her thoughts after, and she's touched on it somewhat. But I'm kind of curious as to if you see any, I don't know, substantial connection to real esoteric philosophy and what Derek's peddling, or if you think it's just an artistic interpretation of it.
Well, I think I know one of the things I asked him when I first joined the board, you know, because I had a lot of questions. You know, you read the works, but, you know, you're going to still have a lot of questions. I asked him if, right off the bat, it sounded very theistic to me. So I asked him right off the bat, you know, how could an atheist use this? Because I'm an atheist, you know, because I don't believe in gods, or I don't believe these elder things are living in some dimension or back and, you know, rule the world. So I was asking him, you know, can it work? Can theists and atheists together use this? And he was like, absolutely. You know, you do your thing. You know, you have the symbolism, you have the aesthetic. And he, you know, he'd had enough interactions with me to know that all I need is the symbolism and I can run with it. So I was looking at how he was taking, or take for instance the old ones. And to him, these are actually external deities. Now, to me, we are the old ones. We drone along, these little sleepers, you know, we're being, you know, ruled by society, we're being bombarded with all this influence, and we're essentially asleep at the wheel. You know, and I always use the comparison to the Matrix. You know, you got to kind of unplug from the Matrix and wake up to see the real reality. And the real reality is you're not as free as you think you are, because you're really a slave. I mean, look at how much is controlled for our lives, and we'd like to be sovereign, but we're really not. You know, we're you know, subjected to the government, we're subjected to society, and so bit by bit, you know, and I always say brick by brick, you can build you create your own Emerald City where you rule as the god, and sometimes that's going to take stepping on a few heads. Some people might even need to sacrifice themselves to you to get shit done. But essentially, you know, you're going to wake up your own inner God and then, you know, seize control of your reality. And then the new reality then comes into fruition. That's how I was looking at it. I mean, but the theistic stuff, you know, for any atheist, we're going to look at that like that's foreign to us, because, you know, even the idea of some kind of external boogie-boogie in the sky just kind of makes me laugh.
Right.
I think most atheists,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm listening.
Oh, I was just saying, I think it's kind of funny that, you know, because I was under the same impression. I'm not necessarily an atheist. I don't really think that there's a difference between an atheist and a theist in the sense that, you know, ultimately everything is subjectively viewed through your own personal scope anyway. So everything is external. It's whether you recognize the internal the internal counterpart to it. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. You know, more than that, I honestly don't believe that the existence of some anthropomorphic being could be there. So it's kind of a twisted thing. But, you know, the whole stretch there about, atheists being okay to use it, that's really pretty much what I got fired for, if you know what I mean. With Venture.
No,
I got fired for trying to create a complete counter movement within the movement. The idea was because Venture had amped up the level of theism in his form and his approach and everything, and I realized that there were a lot of people that were scratching their head going, well, wait, this isn't quite how I wanted to use this. So my thoughts were, you know, to give it a dynamic where, you know, you could have this level of atheism or symbolic living existing inside of the Cult of Cthulhu, and it would work kind of in the sense that there would be two separate schools that you could explore, you know, that one that was built around the theology that Derek was trying to present, and the other that was built around using the symbolism to create a different environment internally.
I didn't take that approach. Because I kind of did the same thing, but I took a different approach to it. Because I studied Hermetic philosophies, and I don't believe in dualism. And so it's interesting that you said earlier that you didn't see a difference between theism and atheism, because essentially there is no difference. The only difference that people see is, some people externalize these ideas, and they believe that these ideas are external, but it's really in their mind. So everything exists within the mind. So essentially, there is no difference. You're just saying, okay, these things exist in my mind and nowhere else. The other person is saying, no, they exist outside of my mind. But you're both right. You know what I mean? So when I was doing the atheistic approach, I was pretty much writing a lot from that standpoint. So Venger didn't really give me a hard time about that aspect at all. The only thing he really gave me a hard time with was disagreeing with his personal views. And he felt, I think he felt like I was always attacking him. I'm very much a protagonist. I'm very much a provocateur. So when I would see him stagnate in thought, I would challenge him and challenge him and challenge him. And I would challenge everybody around me, not just him. But I think he felt like I was always picking at him. So I think that's where everything would lie between he and I. And I didn't get booted from the cult. I left with a big roaring, go fuck yourself.
Right.
There's no hard feelings, really. I mean, I could care less, you know. I don't harbor hard feelings about that at all. I recognize it for what it is. He was just going through some junk, and he was bringing that junk onto the board, and it really had nothing to do with me.
Right. Well, it's funny because I say I got fired, but, I mean, in essence, I kind of put it in a spot where there was no choice but for me to be fired. And, I mean, it came down to him asking me to make a choice between him and Jason Sorrell and stating that the fate of my immortal soul rested upon it. And to me, I was like, well, you guys are both my friends, but if you're going to, you know, put up an ultimatum, we all know how ultimatums work.
Well, you know what? In truth, I didn't need to be a prophet to prophesize that was going to occur. And I'll tell you why. When you and Jason first came on, I called you guys the Yes Men. Because every single thing that he posted, any idea he conveyed, you both agreed. You both agreed every single time. Didn't matter what it was. And I was like, oh, that can't be good. That can't be good. Because I don't think anybody or anything can prosper and grow if you always agree. There's got to be something that you step back and challenge. Because I think in some regard, as much as he hated the pecking, I think he definitely needed it. I think he relied on it. That way he could have his own sanity check. And so when you guys kept agreeing, I just knew that was just going to go awry. I foresaw it. I really did. I was like, we'll see how long that lasts. And then I wasn't too shocked when I heard that you guys were both, you know, stepped away from the cult. I was like, yeah, well, you know, there you go.
Right, Ann. Well, I think he does post a lot of valuable things, and there's a lot of things that he said that I would have still agree with to this point, even though I, you know, overall kind of find his method repulsive. But and by his method, I don't mean anything specifically to do with the Cult of Cthulhu or its philosophies, but more his the little games that he plays, the popping onto other websites and posting things to kind of direct traffic back to his website. And then, you know, the recent, as Zach was mentioning, his recent ultimatum that he gave Satanic International Network, you know, these are all kind of what I would call trademark Venger moves, you know.
Yeah, but getting back to what I was saying before about his complete reality, if you think about it, it's kind of smart because, okay, so he goes on the Sin Network and he says, you know, worship me or die or whatever. If he gets 4 or 5 people to even follow him to that cult, it was effective. Not everybody's going to agree. Then he knows who exactly he can command and who he can get to do things for him. Because I tell you, when I was on that board for a while, both as an anonymous user and as a known user, and he had all these little users doing all kinds of stuff for him, plugging his cult, sharing his writing, doing stuff for him in the real world. So, I mean, he was being effective, at least in that regard.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't disagree with the effectiveness of it. It just overall makes me sick to my stomach. That's all I'm
saying. Because it doesn't appeal to you. It doesn't appeal to me. It doesn't appeal to Jason Sorrell. You know, but to some people, it might have worked. Who knows? For all we know, he might have got, you know, 12 people off the Sin Network to go, you know, sign up for his little cult board, buy his books, who knows?
Right. I think one of the most interesting things about the whole deal is the fact that the religion itself, its temple is that forum board. It's just this little internet forum. You know, there's no real world manifestation of it. There's no real world application to it. I have in my mind sometimes the question of whether when Derek turns the computer off, if he's still Avenger Satanist or if he's just Derek Dishaw. So
probably Derek. When I was involved, I had a grotto. I had the Grotto of Azathoth. We did stuff. We did some rituals. Hell, we even did a Lovecraft birthday party that was, like, awesome. We got a bunch of crabs. We ate seafood. We drank green champagne. We got schnockered. We did our crab. We took the crabs, and we did a little puppet show with all the crabs. It was hilarious. We made a banner. We ritualized a bit. You know, we did stuff in the real world. And then I took it a further, and I was promoting the books at some of the vending events that I go to. I brought it to, like, Pagan Pride Day. So I think that was intimidating to some people, too, because people, and I was posting pictures. So I think people were seeing, well, she's the only one doing anything out there in the real world. Everything else is on the internet. You know, so I think that was threatening. And I've had quite a few members, you know, they still stay in touch with me. I've had quite a few tell me that, you know, what they saw was that I was threatening Bender. I don't really think he felt threatened by me. I just think that he's just, like I said, he just wasn't jiving with me pecking at him all the time. And I was pecking. Because a lot of that shit, it needed to be addressed. There was just some of the, he had some wacky ideas about stuff. And I'd be like, what? What is this? What is this nonsense? Break this down to me. Explain.
Hey, B, did he fire you and Ego Diablos because he's, if I remember correctly, didn't he say that you were undermining his authority or trying to fracture his
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
Overthrow him? Yeah.
What he said was that Jason Sorrell was trying to overthrow him, and that's why he wanted me to choose between the two of them. What he didn't realize is I've been friends with Jason Sorrell since, I don't know, 2003 or something like that. We've, you know, kept in close contact, and we, you know, talk about all things like all friends do. And so I already knew Jason wasn't trying to overthrow him. We were just trying to create, you know, something of a proactive environment. And he didn't like that because
you were, like, creating a new sect without his authority. Is that how he was seeing it?
Yeah, that's how he was seeing it. We had announced the grotto. The grotto was going to be called the Heretics of Cthulhu. It was going to be, a completely non-theistic, symbolically based study in the fourth way and its ties to, you know, Lovecraft mythos and its ties to chaos magic and stuff, but through a purely allegorical context.
Gotcha.
And he didn't like that.
Was this something that you addressed with him before? Did you approach him with this first? Like, hey, I have this idea. What do you think?
Yeah. I called him on the phone and told him what I wanted to do, and he was completely all for it, and everything. And we talked about it a couple of times, actually. And I was surprised, really, when I made the announcement, and a couple of posts exchanged after that. And then all of a sudden he came out with, you know, Jason Sorrell is trying to take over the Cult of Cthulhu, and you have to choose between the two of us or it's your immortal soul. And I mean, that's, you know, the long and short of it right there.
Let me ask you this. Did you have any discussion with him after that? Like, did you call him on the phone and
no.
be like, what's nonsense? You said no, you didn't?
No, we talked while the whole thing was going on. We talked through text message a few times, you know, back and forth. And I tried to explain to him where we were coming from and reiterated the things that him and I had discussed. And I don't know. I don't know if it was because of the coming baby that there was just so much stress on him that he couldn't grip reality, but he was just convinced that something foul was at play, and it didn't matter. You know, I tried to explain to him, how can this be Jason doing anything if it was my idea? And he came back, well, with,
asked,
you know, let's see. Go ahead.
The reason I asked is because maybe that was part of the gap. You know, okay, so if you guys are supposed to be the heretics of Cthulhu, he's got to treat you like heretics. I mean, when you're creating complete realities and creating alternate, you know, realities, that would be a reality. You would be the heretics. You would be treated with contempt by the cult leader. But if it was taken out of the internet and out of the reality and he really gave you the boot, then maybe it wasn't.
Yeah, no, we were exchanging back and forth by a text message, and we even talked on through email maybe once or twice. And the thing of it is that he kind of, for, I don't know, a couple of months, really campaigned hard against Jason Sorrell. And of course, you know, Jason Sorrell's not going to back down. So he went antagonizing him as well. And, you know, I think the whole thing for me is, that I found most interesting is since we've left the cult of Cthulhu, his opinion of modern Satanism has just, you know, really hit floor bottom. He's got nothing but negative things to say about it.
Oh, you know, he's always been like that, though. He's always talked about it in that regard. I mean, that goes back to at least 2003, 2004. He's always talked that way. See, I think maybe...
Right.
Maybe it was my approach because, like, after we had our little falling out, it was it. It just didn't exist anymore. I wasn't concerned about it. I never went back. I didn't have any hoo-ha back and forth, and there was no, you know. After I said what I had to say, I was out. That's it. I didn't go back to see what the aftermath was. I didn't even care. And then, like, a year later, he started sending me messages again on YouTube, and I just ignored him. And I was like, oh, he's fishing. He's fishing to see if I'm still mad at him. I'm not even going to give him the time of day. And then I revived my Facebook account because that thing laid dormant for like a year. And then I got a Facebook request, denied it. And then there he is again on Spiritually Raw because I'm doing the Spiritually Raw radio show. And he you know, posted a comment on my page. And I was like, all right, let me go see what he's up to. And so I went and started reading some of his newer writing. And one particular post he made, I read it, and I was just like, you know what? This is the old Venger. This is a Venger I remember. And I decided to comment because I was just going to read it and leave. But I did. I commented. I was just like, you know what? Now this is the Venger I remember. And then I made a few comments about the content, and he was just like, well said, Miss Jones. And that was it. That's pretty much been our interaction since the fallout. So it seems to
me... He made a comment to me shortly after you guys got ejected. He made a comment to me in a PM, and he said something to the effect of, think about it. He's like, you got to watch your back, brother. Think about your admins. One of them's named Beast, and one of them's named King. Watch your back. I was like, all right, you're still paranoid, it looks like.
Right on.
Well, I think a lot of it is paranoia, period. I mean, even you were paranoid about some smack set on Pagan Space, like somebody put a bug in your ear that I was talking shit about the Satanic Network. And you called me up,
right.
And I was just like, wasn't me, dude. I don't know who's feeding you some propaganda, but it wasn't me. And I'm like, here's what I did say. So I think people like to create paranoia.
Yeah, the internet can be a scary place sometimes, you know, because a lot of it's he said, she said. But it's interesting, after you guys got ejected, shortly after that is when he came out and released that whole thing about him being the Messiah and the Chosen One and how in 2011 he was going to rip open a new reality. You know, and shit like that. So that coincides kind of.
He's probably taking his reality up a notch.
Yeah,
but it's his reality.
He dialed it up to 11.
What's interesting is my approach when we. I'm sorry. Please go ahead.
You know, I was just saying, it's his reality, so yeah, he's probably just taking it up a notch, and, you know, he's got to do his thing as the cult leader. Because, I mean, if you think about the mythos itself and how one of the comments I made on his newer writing is that, you know, I think he did go insane, just like Alhazred, you know, the Mad Arab. He had his insanity, and now he's returned from it. But having returned from it doesn't mean that he's of sound mind. He still has to be that crazy... guy with the Necronomicon in his hand, and you know it says if you get these, you tap into this stuff, and it's going to drive you insane. So he's got to act the part. Otherwise, you know, it's really not going to be true to form. You might as well not even call it the mythos anymore. You might as well call it something new.
Right on. I mean, I can definitely see some value to that. I kind of have to chuckle about the whole deal because when I first separated, I made a little video basically saying, hey, I wasn't going to be doing the Cult of Cthulhu thing anymore and for my own personal reasons. And then every time I turn around, he was on places that he knows I frequent, bad-mouthing or whatever, you know, attacking things that he knew I personally held pretty hard. So eventually I had to, you know, come back and let him know I disagreed with him. But overall, you know, my idea has been very similar to yours. I've not been back except for once to that forum, and that was to delete my account because I was tired of getting the emails.
Yeah. He banned me. I couldn't even go back and do that. I was like, he banned me so he could keep all my writing up there. That's what he did. Because I had some awesome writing up there. You know, I had a little cult following of my own. People were reading all my stuff. Because I mean, once I started like diving into it, really, I mean that it inspired me in so many different avenues. It inspired me artistically. It inspired me intellectually. I mean, I was writing poetry that I hadn't written in years. I have like a dozen poems that came out of the inspiration from the Cult of Cthulhu, artwork, sculptures, you name it. So
right.
I wanted to keep all that on the board. You didn't want me to take all my stuff with me.
I can see that and kind of agree with it that might, you know, have been the case. I know for a fact that my time spent actually exploring those ideas was very artistically inclined as well. So I think that's just kind of the vibe that exists there. You know, the people that are looking to create something new, and that creativity is something artists tap into pretty easily.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because everybody started, you know, posting pictures of their own little idols. And, you know, once I started into it, I was like, I want to make an idol. And I did. I sculpted an idol and did a couple of them. I did all kinds of masks, you name it. And then, you know, like I said, I still keep in touch with some of the cultists. You know, whether they're still involved or not, I don't know. But we still keep in touch and still talk about Cthulhu stuff. That still goes on, and I still, you know, if new writing comes out, I'll read it. You know, Venger doesn't need to know. Hey, I wrote your, you know, because before I would review anything he wrote. You know, I'd be like, I'm gonna post a review, and now I just read it. I don't really feel compelled to write a review all the time. Sometimes I'll comment, sometimes I won't.
Right on. Just depends on your mood, huh? I mean. One thing that I'll say is he's definitely gotten lengthier in his posting.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Mini novel. And that, you know, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think it would be interesting to see if this third book that he's talking about comes out, if it's longer than 100 pages.
I know that's always been the criticism too, that, you know, he writes in really big print. Like when I got that first book, Cult of Cthulhu, the first book, I got it in hardcover, and when I was done with it, I was like, what was this thing, 65 pages? Wow, okay.
Yeah, exactly. The Libre AO was even shorter, so.
Yeah. And then I know I listened to the show that he did with Zach, and he asked him specifically about the book, and he pretty much said it was on the back burner. So it probably won't be out anytime soon. I don't know if he's changing direction, or he just can't find the inspiration to write, or he probably doesn't even know what to write about. I mean, where do you go from there?
From my understanding, it's supposed to be the Necronomicon Satanus.
Let me ask you this. Did you buy an official portrait? His picture that he sells for, I think, $25. It's signed by Avenger Satanus.
No. Is it of him?
Okay. Yeah, he sells these portraits of himself, pictures of his face that are signed for $25.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's funny.
Yeah, someone's not fooling themselves, huh?
Well, yeah, hell, you know, we you know, as Satanists, we have big friggin' egos. I know mine's effing huge, huge. But yeah, I wouldn't hang an icon of Avenger Satanism on my wall. Sorry. I was interested
That's
in
funny.
Some of his earlier paintings, though. I really liked some of his paintings. I was putting a bid on one that he did that was very mythos inspired. And I think he was going to sell it to me for like $150, and I would have bought it too. But I don't know. I think things happened, and I just totally forgot about it.
He's a talented artist. Actually, you're right. He's not batshit crazy. Avenger Satanis can be batshit crazy. The Dip Dishell is a really respectful, polite, courteous, articulate man. Every time I talk to him, you know, he's been really fucking cool, down to earth. Then he has got this online persona where he acts batshit crazy.
Yeah, well, he's got to. He's got it. Like I said, he's got to be like kind of like that mad Arab, you know. He's trying to wake up the old ones. He's getting into all kinds of darkness and eldritch weirdness, and the abyss has him. I love all of this.
Yeah,
I'm sorry?
He definitely plays a part. He plays the part of the cult leader well. You know,
Sometimes. I've seen some pretty pitiful stuff online that I'm like, dude, get it together. What kind of cult leader are you? Really? You know, like, because I was reading his blogs on MySpace for a while, and some of that stuff, I'd be like, dude, you just need to delete that. That's embarrassing.
I can imagine the stuff that you're talking about. He did for... What's interesting about Derek, when I first met him, and of course my phone's going to screw up now. When I first met him and first started talking to him, he was very, very, very emo about his breakup with that girl Dawn that he was dating.
That's what I'm talking about. The
blogs. I mean, I spent hours of time trying to, you know, just give him, you know, a little friendly nudge towards the positive side, you know. And
well, I think what irked me the most is he wasn't putting it to work for him. You know, here he is, he has a situation that has presented himself where he can actually apply all the shit he's been talking, and he didn't do it. He was boohooing on blogs.
Right. You know, I think the reasoning for that is because, I mean, and this is just, you know, a year or so's worth of hanging out with him. I really honestly don't believe he does more than read the highlights of the book. I don't believe he reads the books all the way through. Because sometimes he'll be talking about something like identifying, you know, the concept of identifying presented by Ouspensky and Gurdjieff, you know. And he gets it, but not all the way. He doesn't seem to understand how it's not only a negative thing. It can be a positive thing, too. It's about what you choose to identify with.
Right, yeah. He was confusing everybody with all that fourth way stuff on the board, too, and which is what prompted me to write an essay. It's on Scribd. It's called The Fourth Way Simplified. And I just wrote a one-pager just so people could get the gist of what fourth way philosophy was and how they could use it. Because he was just all over the place, and it did give that appearance. Like, did he read this whole book? Because I certainly did, and I don't know what he's talking about. You know what I mean? Had me scratching my head a few times.
Yeah, that seemed to be my overall. I mean, I at this point have read everything that either of those two authors have written, and you know, I honestly I don't know if we're reading the same story at all, the same book at all.
Yeah, I ran into that a few times myself, and I wasn't sure if it was just my perspective on what I had read because you know I often had a totally different point of view from him. You know, I'd be like, wow, that's not what I got out of it at all. But here's what I did get out of it. And, you know, I would present my ideas and then other people would kind of, you know, we'd run with it. And he would just kind of like do drive-by comments. And they were always very short, brief, you know. So if he's supposed to be the cult leader, he wasn't acting as the cult leader. You know what I mean? And that's when he started appointing people as like, mentors, you know, and I noticed he's been writing more about life coaching and some of the new parts of the cult is that each person that agrees has to become a mentor, and then they mentor someone under them, and then they mentor someone under them, and that's how he wants the cult to be run now. Because that's basically how it was being run before without any, you know, official mentoring program. He appointed, you know,
right.
You know, he stepped people up to Wizard of the Terrible Darkness, and then we were the most read, so we were, you know, we were pretty much up on the paradigm. And then we would kind of school the newbies along and be like, all right, well, here, read this, go here, do this, do that. You know, we'd give them resources. We'd break it down to them. We'd answer their questions. And Bender didn't have to do a whole lot himself at that point because we were doing it.
Right on. Are you still on the line?
Hello? Zach here.
I'm still here.
Okay. Hold on. I'm trying to get this... the switchboard's being goofy. Allison, are you on there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. All right. We got a caller, actually, at the moment. Warlock Asylum. So I'm going to go ahead and bring him on real quick. Warlock Asylum, what's going on, man?
Hey, how are you?
Doing
Hello?
Good. How are you?
Oh, okay. I didn't know if I was here. How you doing, Allison?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you?
Okay. Zach, how are you? Maybe he's toning out or something. I'm not sure. But I was just listening to a little bit of discussion and about Avengers. Interesting, the COC. It reminded me of something because I used to work in the psychology field. Now, I just read this. Maybe I might add on to the discussion. But it says, narcissistic personality disorder is a mental disorder in which people have an inflated sense of their own importance and a deep need for admiration. Those with narcissistic personality disorder believe that they are superior to others and have little regard for other people's feelings. But behind the mask of ultra confidence lies a fragile self-esteem, vulnerable to the slightest criticism. And I just thought it was interesting, you know, with some of the stuff you guys were discussing. But I just wanted to ask Allison, how has it been since your departure from the cult of Cthulhu, the Cthulhu cult?
Like in my life or with my
relationship? Just like in your life in general.
I'm still doing my thing just how I always had been. I mean, I didn't need the cult. The cult needed me more than I needed it.
Mm.
So it wasn't really an integral part of my life. I just kind of used it like a tool, like any other tool I had in my toolbox.
Okay, I see. Yeah. That's all I had. You guys today. Yeah. But it's good to hear some of your perspectives, you know, just listening in and everything. So, yeah, I'm going
to
check
it. I think it is an interesting addition to the conversation because I self-identify as a narcissist. My name is Sin, which is a nickname from Allison, but it's also an acronym, which means self-indulging narcissist. But I don't use narcissist in the negative connotation, and I assure you there is no fragile human being underneath this big facade.
No, I was just thinking in more sense of when you always talking about Avenger.
Yeah.
You know,
I understood that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, from my point of view, when I use narcissist, you know, it always has negative connotations to it. You know, when people say, oh, you're such a narcissist, or oh, so conceited. And I say, yeah, I am actually. And everybody knows I'm a narcissist. Anybody who has ever spent any time around me knows I'm a complete narcissist. But I use it to empower me. I don't use it as a crutch, you know, and nobody can shatter my world but me. And I take criticism very well, you know, and I consider it constructive even when it's meant not to be constructive. I kind of look at the person making the criticism. You know, does it have any validity? And if it does have any validity,
right.
What do I need to look at? One of the things that I got out of the Cult of Cthulhu also was a strong focus on self-examination, which I had already been doing.
Mm-hmm.
It placed more emphasis on self-examining and looking at yourself and really putting that mirror in front of yourself going, you know, what do I need to adjust here? Or maybe something that somebody's saying to me really needs to be looked at. If they're making this criticism, is it coming because they're projecting or is it coming because they have some valid criticism for me?
I kind of see that as well.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I kind of see as well because I think that any artist or any person involved, like in some form of the occult, they have to there was a period where they do tap into insanity, but if they can use that as a tool. However, some people, they become the tool of the insanity. You know, like where the program just takes the whole person over. But there is a place where an artist or an occultist can use the insanity definition as a tool for themselves, you know, to achieve, because it's really outside the bounds of what reality is. That's what every occultist is trying to, you know, create their own world, you know. So it does, it is relevant, but sometimes people, they allow that insanity to overcome them, and they don't have a strong hold of it as a tool, you know. So it's interesting, yeah. So that's all. So you guys have a good evening. I'm going to just listen more on the computer.
Thanks for finish calling up
work.
Good, yeah, man. Definitely. Okay, I'll catch you later. Okay.
Talk to you later, bro. All right. With just 4 minutes left in the show, and Zach hasn't fallen off the line yet again, I'm not really sure if there's anything really left to be said. And I think you give pretty good perspective. I like the neutral kind of ground that you've taken with it, just calling a spade and leaving the rest of it as it is.
Yeah,
I'm curious to know if you have any... I'm sorry. I was just curious to know if you have any big, you know, plans or things to do coming up.
I always have new writing on my website. I'm always writing. I always have new artwork. That's pretty much it. I'm always doing my thing. You know, I'm always creating. I never stop creating. And you can track me all over the place. I'm pretty much everywhere online. But you can also reach out to me in the real world, too. Absolutely. Yeah, just check out my website. You know, that's how you stay up on what I'm doing and, you know, what I'm creating.
All right, now for everybody listening, the description of the show page does have a link directly to her website. The only commentary I really have, because your website's a storefront at first, it's a little difficult to actually get back into the actual writing of it. You have to kind of go through the categories, I noticed, to get to the writing.
There's a link on the left side. This is library, and if you click on the library, it brings you out to all the writing.
Okay, so yeah, that'll help people navigate to it, and maybe give your, you know, website a little more fluidity, if I can use that word without making it sound retarded. But I enjoy it. I actually I go and visit it every now and then. I enjoyed it when you posted it in the Cult of Cthulhu forum all the time, and I thought that you brought some great insight with you. So I encourage people to do that. And, of course, the things you create in real life are very cool. If anybody's, you know, knows my YouTube channel or whatever, you can check in my subscriptions and actually find Allison's YouTube channel, in which you can see the house that I'm talking about.
They're in all kinds of tomfoolery. I'm up there singing. I'm giving tours of my house. So there's all kinds of videos up there.
Right on. And on behalf of the Satanic International Network, actually, I would like to put out the invitation for you to, pop by our forums occasionally and interact. You usually do offer some good insights, so.
All right, well, I'll think about it.
Okay. And I realize you're a busy girl already, so I won't be too disappointed if you don't, but.
Yeah, I just thought, you know, Zach asked me, and I was just like, oh, my God, I'm so invested in so many forums. How many forums can a girl manage? You know.
Right on. With all that being done, thank you very much for, calling in, being a guest today. And at some point we'll do a proper highlight edition and actually get a little more invested in some of your writings and stuff and some of your work. I know we talked briefly about it today, but I'm sure we could talk for hours just about meditative dancing. So.
Definitely. Yeah, anytime you want to do a show, just give me a buzz.
Will do. Sounds good.
Thanks for having me on.
And I'm sorry?
I said thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. It was my pleasure. So with that being said, we'll go ahead and close the show out. Have a good weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.